Good morning, brethren.
Good
morning. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. I'll be reading from the American Standard, 1901. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control patience, in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Nick, for that reading. John, well, word of prayer. Appreciate the words about being mindful of the kingdom of God that we're a part of. And day for the songs this morning, always a pleasure to hear they sing. You do have a good number concerning all things. You know, Jeff, every once in a while, you just feel like you get a big laugh of Paul's Mythalism. I don't know, maybe it's just me. But in the reading, as Nicky was reading that, I want to go ahead and turn the page. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. And I want to read that, and I want you, as we read that, to think really what Nicky just read. And I want to read these two verses together because they have the idea really behind the sermon this morning. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. He says, promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption, he says, for by what a man is overcome, by this, Peter says, he's enslaved. I want to read those two texts together. I want you to keep in mind what Nicky read, because it expresses the idea of habit. And I want us to think about habits this morning. There are some things in Nicky's reading that are good habits that help us grow, that help us develop, that help us be good Christians and followers of Christ. But also at the same time that there are good things that we can develop, there are also things that we can develop that we can do habitually that entrap us. Bad things that enslave us, and that's the idea. They drag us down really to terrible behaviors and sins. But maybe right now, during this time of year, maybe you're in full swing of maybe developing better habits. I mean, this is the first of the year, and there's been a lot of discussion about habits and how habits are important, and what is a habit, what defines a habit. Well, something that, even if you're not ADD, you can't think about everything all the time. So there are things that we do habitually. All of us do that. We just get in the groove. We just get in that mode, and we do some things without thinking. The illustration of the river flowing through the canyon, what the water always takes the path of least resistance, and over time what happens? That canyon goes deeper and deeper, and it's ingrained in that. But the more ingrained it gets, I think we need to recognize that the more ingrained something gets, good or bad, the harder that it is really to change that habit or to be different about that. Samuel Johnson, I like what he said in doing some research for this lesson. He said the change of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. I like that. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But as I'm thinking about habits this morning, I'm wondering if there may be some of us that might need to be developing better habits, maybe dropping the habits that we are entrenched in, and maybe there's some new habits that we'd like to start. As you look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and you think about what's being discussed there, I think all of us would like to be changed. Change the good habits. Change the things that are good and moral and right. Things that help us grow and develop. I would like to be doing those things without thinking. That's true. I just like to automatically do good things in an habitual way. And at the same time, I think that it would be a fear for all of us that are Christians that are serving God to be chained to something that is not good, to be chained to a habit that's bad. And so when you think about that, of course, what is this? The second Sunday of this year, a lot of us are looking at maybe getting a fresh start. So maybe it might be the proper time to maybe look at a few of these things. And I did. I said some things about resolutions before. But, you know, studying this week, I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, Daniel resolved some things, Paul resolved some things, you know, the scripture, there's a principle there, and about having some resolutions. But I'm not really talking about resolutions today. I'm not kind of scanning that off. I'm talking about habits. I am talking about that. And this morning, I'm talking about maybe making some changes in our lives to develop better habits and to drop bad habits. And whenever you talk about change, no matter what, it's tough. The things we want to talk about maybe are difficult, little tough to do. And so when the tough gets going, obviously the tough goes to the Word of God. I want to look at the Word of God this morning. I want to look at four principles in the Word of God that will help us develop better habits. To help us drop bad habits, to build better habits, be better disciples maybe this year than we were last year in 2017. Four principles. Number one, we need to think, I believe, a little bit why you want to change. Why do you want to change? Why do you want to develop better habits? Why do you want to drop the bad habits? What's your motivation? Proverbs chapter 4. I want you to notice what the writer says, verse 23. He says, "Watch your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the springs of life, or the issues of life." I said a second ago that change is hard, and it is. It is estimated that 74% of the people that smoke cigarettes in this country have tried to quit. And of that 74%, maybe more than once they tried to quit, but they failed. Why is it, I guess that's the question, why is it that people fail to do that? Will Rogers said that quit smoking is easy. He's done it 1,000 times. But why is it hard? Why is it difficult to do that? Well, I say to you that I believe that motivation may be a key behind that. And I know a guy that quit smoking automatically, immediately, one day. And the way he did that was he went to the doctor. The doctor put the x-ray up. He said, "You've got lung cancer. If you don't quit smoking right now, you're going to die." He quit that day. All right. Motivation makes all the difference in the world. What's behind the reason? Why are you changing? You know, what's going on? What went on January 2nd in gyms all across this nation? What happened? They were packed. They were packed to the hilt. Not only were they packed to the hilt, they were packed with people with all new gear, all shiny and new sweat gear, had the Rambo bandana, everybody looking good, new shoes, huh? They've made that, we're going to do it now, aren't we? All right, so that's all that going on. Now, what's going to happen here probably this week, in another week or two? Well, the gym going to go down, there'll be less people in the gym, all those new shiny clothes and shoes, they're going to be folded up and put away somewhere in some drawer. That new exercise machine you got, that's going to be the new dust collector in your bedroom. You're going to figure out things that we use all to hang clothes on, whatever. But what happens? People want exercise, they want to eat right. I think that's probably the number one resolution of the year. Everybody does that. But most people, you know, they do it because why? What's the motivation behind that? Hey, you're looking good. Have you lost weight? Well, you look nice, huh? That's the motivation behind that. But after a while, because of that motivation, people go, "You know what? I really don't like to exercise. I don't like it. I don't like the diet. I don't like any of those things. And you know what? I look just fine. Thank you very much." And so the motivation leaves. You see what I mean? That's the end of that whole exercise resolution. So we're not talking about diet and exercise. We're talking about serving God. We're talking about serving the Lord. And if you look at Proverbs 4:24, what's the motivation that he's talking about here? What's in your heart? In your heart. Keep your heart pure. Keep it with all diligence. Out of that comes motivation. Out of that comes issues of life. You know, maybe your motivation is, maybe this year you've decided in the back of your mind, maybe you have, I'm going to read the Bible clear through. What's behind that? You're going to just to say that you did, "Hey, I've read the Bible from front to back." Or maybe you can brag some of your friends on social media, "I've read the Bible clear through." Maybe you're caught up in sin. Habitual sin, a sin that you commit over and over. Every day, all day, every year. And you know what? Yeah, you know, I should quit that. And you know what? If I might get caught. And if I get caught, you know how embarrassing that's going to be. Yeah, I'm nervous that's going to be if I get caught in this. Or, you know, when Sunday morning comes, I just love to roll over. I've got those flannel sheets, they're so warm, and I just forget. You know what I mean? But when I do, when I don't come to church, you know, I just feel so guilty about that, don't you? Just makes me feel guilty. But if you think about that, what's the reason, what's the motivation behind some of those things when you think about that? When we don't have the right motivation, the problem, I think, comes pretty quickly when you know what, well, I didn't read the Bible today. Really, I didn't do a good job reading it all year. You know what? I don't care if I impress anybody. I don't care what I put on Facebook. You see how the motivation goes down? You know that sin that I'm caught up in? And I'm thinking about it and just, you know what? So, you know, hey, I know. I'm smarter than that. I'm not going to get caught. And, you know, guilt, well, they told me in school that I'm not supposed to feel guilty. Oh, don't feel guilty. Humans aren't supposed to feel guilty. Totally contrary to Scripture. Scripture has guilt wrote all over it. You better feel it. But no, I've decided I'm just sick and tired of feeling guilty for being who I am and what I want to do. So I'm not going to feel that anymore. So what's the result of that? I'm not going to come to services. Because you've done did away with guilt. I know that the Scriptures teach a better purpose, teaches us a better motivation. 1 Corinthians. Paul cites one of the guiding principles of his life. Look at chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. He says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, he says, but we an imperishable crown. Well, or wreath is what some translations say. You look at that. That's why I'm going to make changes. That's why I'm going to look at my life and the habits that I've developed, good and bad. And I'm not doing it to impress you. And I don't do it because I'm afraid I'm going to get caught. What I'm doing is I'm making these changes so that I want to go to heaven. I want the crown of life. I want the wreath that Paul's talking about. That's the number one consideration in me taking a look at my life. I want what Paul speaks of. I want that wreath. And when we fill our lives with that kind of thinking, with that kind of motivation, when we look at the things that we're doing it for that wreath. I want to go to heaven. And we look at it different. We look at ourselves different. Here I am. But you know, here is where I need to be. Here's the changes that I need to make. Why are you doing that? I want to go to heaven. That's the point. So whether I'm thinking about my temper, I need to control that better. Whether I'm thinking about my tongue, what I'm saying, whether I'm thinking about attendance of church, whether I'm thinking about reading the Bible, all of those things, I need to think of it in terms that I'm doing those things because I want to get to heaven. That's my life goal. Nothing else. I want to build habits that push me there, that keep me going there. When I start seeing that thing, I start thinking about what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 9. And that's the power. That's the motivation. That's what pushes me. That's what compels me. I want to do whatever it takes to get to heaven. That's the picture. Now, when you have that, number one, you have all the motivation you need. That's the motivation that you need while we look at number two. Talk a little bit about God's grace here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we want to read verse 8. He says, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in him. I need to say here that when we're starting to talk about changing, making new habits, building new habits, dropping bad habits, And I know that it's going to be difficult, but part of that difficulty, I think, in looking at this, is that our society likes to say this, you can't change. You know that? You just can't. You can't control who you are. You just can't do that. This is really just how you were born. I think that maybe we need to psychoanalyze you, because I think a lot of you out here have some kind of subconscious thing that's going on that you don't even know how to address. You can't even think about it because something happened to you in your childhood that you just can't even speak about it. And really, that's what's making you who you are. And he talked about that a little bit more. And that, you know, it's just genetic, man. You're just who you are. That's what society says. And when they say that, that's just subtle attack on saying that you're not in charge of yourself. That you can't do it, that you can't change, and that you can't act differently, and that you can't have better habits. That's really attack on that respect. And it's interesting too, if you look at that, really what this text does, it helps us to see what's real. Some people talk about change. And when they talk about change, they talk about, now, all you've got to really want to. Oh, you've got to have that desire. Oh, it's got to be in you as if you can even want it more. Now, what this text says here, it says that you can change, but the way that you can change is how? By the power of God. That's how. These verses say, God wants you in heaven. These verses say, and you have to think about that, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. He has saved you by His grace. And God does what? God continues to save you by His grace. Why? Because God wants you saved. So when we're going to start talking about changing, instead of talking about what I'm going to do with my strength and my mind, my ability and my work, what this says in Ephesians, it starts talking about what? What God is doing. Look at it. Look at the end verse 8. By grace, you have been saved. That's a different equation. That's a different equation in the changes that you want to make. When you say, I'm saved by God's grace, what you're saying is, I'm not saved. Who needs to say that? I'm saved by God's grace. You stop saying, I'm saved because I got baptized. I'm saved because I go to church regularly. I'm saved because I do everything right, and I do all the things. You stop saying that. When you can say, I'm saved by God's grace, because you recognize you're no longer earning God's love. God loves you in Christ. You're no longer saying that we're trying to prove that we're good enough to go to heaven. You know why? Because you know you're not good enough to go to heaven. And what happens is when you put God in His place, what He's done with His grace, you stop the self-righteousness because you lean and you glorify God. His part in it. Think about this. It's in His cross. It's in His word. It's through angels. It's through people. It's through circumstances. Things that we don't understand. God is at work for what? To bring me home to heaven. God saved me through His grace. God continues to save me by His grace. Put that in to the idea about change. How does that fit in? How do decisions fit? Well, you look at that. I can do what God wants me to do to be saved. God wants me to go to heaven. Now, if I say that I can't change, if I say that I just, you know, that not only belittles you, that belittles God. God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Now, as you look at that, when we encounter obstacles and barriers in our lives, do you think that God just says, oh, well, I wish I'd do something about that. We lost that one. What? Is that it? And you look at the text, and in verse 8 and 9, he starts talking initially about salvation, but he completes it. In verse 10, about good works being in His workmanship, how's that? Well, God prepared that beforehand. Think about that. And so when you think about God, what we're talking about is God here, to those that seek Him, those that serve Him, God will see to it that you can overcome temptation. God will see to it that He'll assist you in building spiritual character that you need to survive here, plus to enter heaven. God will help you develop those habits. Those things that we're talking about. If our purpose is to go to heaven, no one wants you to get there more than God. No one. God wants you in heaven. And you look at that, He's moving everything. He's moving heaven and earth to get you there. everything for you. We focus on change. Instead of making excuses, oh, I just can't do it. How about by the grace of God you can do it? How about by the power of God you can do it? How about by the glory of God I can do this? Remember the passage, Psalm 37, verse 5. He says, committing to your way, or committing to the way of the Lord, trust also in Him, and He'll do it. I love that. Commit to the Lord, trust in Him, He'll do it. Faith in God, the power of God. I look at that. So great. But by His grace and mercy, praise and brethren, we can make a change. Thirdly, if we're involved, I think in January 10th, Acts chapter 8, we all know the story of good old Simon, but I want to look at him this morning just a little bit. Simon Sorcerer, he just ran into all kinds of difficulty and trouble there. Peter tells him, you need to repent of your wickedness. Verse 22, Acts 8. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart, he says, may be forgiven to you. I said before, I get a little nervous sometimes. When we talk about resolutions, I'm not a big resolution guy, but there are resolutions that I think, on a personal level, they make a lot better. And they make life easier, and people have changed and done that. But sometimes, and the reason I kind of step back with resolutions is, that sometimes we end up mixing personal things with spiritual things. Alright? When we make our resolutions, and then I think there's might be some confusion sometimes in that. You know what? I'm going to mow the grass more regularly. You know what I mean? If you see Terry over there this summer, buddy, I better be over there and do it. I'm going to keep up with it. I'm going to eat more vegetables. I don't know how many more I can eat. I'm telling you this. But who made this list? I'm going to pick up the thought. I'm going to be on time. Whatever. All those things make life easier. They make life better. They're personal. But you know what? That's a far cry from saying this. I'm not going to look at any online porn in 2018. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get on Facebook and covet somebody else's life or lifestyle or image somebody. That's a far cry from saying what we just said about picking up songs. See the difference? Sometimes we mix the trivial, personal, with that which is very significant in the kingdom of God. Very significant about you being a Christian and walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you how that happens. What happens is time passes and these things are trivial. Whether you don't come on time or you don't pick up your cross or you don't mow the grass. You know what we say? Nobody keeps those resolutions anyway. Nobody does anyway. And so when you address something offended, you're caught up in it. And you know what happens? Well, that's just in the same mix. That's picking up your thought. I tried. Nobody sticks to that. I think there's a danger in that. And I think the difference is repentance. And I think sometimes when we make resolutions or we talk about change, I think we skip the repentance part. And we go right to the action part. But prior to any action of change, repentance must take place. And I think we need to recognize that's what repentance is all about. We need to ask ourselves, I think, where are we in this process of change, this process of repentance? Where are you in that? This time that last year, how many of you said, in 2017, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible a lot more. Rah-rah for Bible reading. We're going to read maybe a lot of prophets. We're going to do all that in New Testament Christianity. That's what it's all about. But how many of us look back on 2017, and we didn't do that, how many of us said, you know what, I need to repent of that. I've sinned. I've watched TV a zillion hours. I've scrolled Facebook with my eyes blessed. Lord, I need forgiveness for last year. My priorities are so out of whack. And what I've done, do you see the difference? And just that's a little different than just saying, well, I need to read my Bible more in 2018. A lot different than looking at what you have done and saying, I have sinned. I need to change. You look at things sometimes, you know, of course repentance is the key, but we treat so many habits and changes in the kingdom of God like they're optional equipment. Well, I'll get you around doing that someday. I need to treat the spouse better. I need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to come church more. Well, whenever you get ready, you just let me know. Optional. That's the danger. That's the danger. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 13. A lot of times we stop far short of saying, you know what, this thing is sinful. And I need to stop. Verse 13. 28, 13. He says this. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them, he'll find compassion. Could it be that we never made good on changes that we say? Because we just never repented. We never call it what it is. We conceal our transgressions. We hide our sins under the thin veneer of excuses. And we just lump it in all together with all the other things that we failed to do. Didn't dig up a sock. Didn't stop sinning. You see how it goes? You see the danger there? All these resolutions that keep us from saying this. This is sin. I'm done with it. Oh, we just lump it all in. That's the danger. That makes a difference in our habits. That makes a difference in our ability to change. When we realize that and recognize that. Leads us finally this morning. I think we need to make some plans. Proverbs 14, are you still in Proverbs? Turn over to the 14th chapter. Verse 22. Notice what he says. He says, will they not go astray who devise evil? But kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. I like this translation. It says, if you plan to do good, you will receive unfailing love and faithfulness. Well, I ask you this morning, what's the plan? Got a plan? Do you even think about having a plan? To change things in your life? To develop good habits for God? To drop bad habits that are with Satan? Are you chained to those things? Do you have a plan? Because I'm going to tell you something. You serve a God that plans. If you don't think God's plan, read Genesis 6, the ark. Read Exodus and the instruction of the tabernacle. All those instructions to do with that. Read Leviticus when it comes to worshiping Him. God's plan. God always plans. Now, do we have a plan for godliness, for doing something? Now, one of my favorite writers says this. No one drifts toward holiness. Think about that. No one drifts toward holiness. If your plan is, well, I want to buckle down and be a faithful Christian. I want to read my Bible more. How are you going to do that? Do you have a plan for doing that? What are you going to do on your schedule that puts you there? That lets you do that? Just thought about that. If you have a plan that you're going to get out of sin that you're involved in, something that you're doing that's a bad habit, what's your plan? When do you do that? Who are you around when you do that? What are the circumstances that you need to change when you're around that so that you can address that and do that? No one drifts toward holiness. Church doesn't drift toward holiness either. Church needs plan. I'm going to be a better Christian in 2018. Yes, sir, I am. How are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? What's that going to look like? When are you going to be doing that? You got a plan? See how empty resolutions mean nothing. Maybe it's clear that I need to make a plan. Can I say this? If you're having a plan, you got a plan? What are you taking out of your life, your schedule, to do that? You thought about that? I don't know anybody that comes to me and says, you know, 2017, there were 3 hours a day that I just twiddled my thumbs. I didn't have nothing to do. You know what I'm going to do during that 3 hours? I'm just going to read my Bible. Huh? How about that? Nobody's got a schedule like that. If you do, come talk to them. But you know, I want to emphasize 3 things that might help us do that. One of those things is, I think we need to start with prayer. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, He said to pray that He delivers us from evil. I want to say it in our lives. Folks, I'm telling you, you need to get God involved. You need to get God involved in your life. Prayer is what's needed there. Prayer is in everybody's life. You want to get God involved in your changes? You want to give Him the power, glory, and strength to do that? Get Him involved. Prayer is the lifeblood for us. Get God involved. Secondly, I think Paul says, well, don't be weary in well-doing. Listen, you're going to fall. You got bad habits. You want to do right. You want to change those things that you're entrenched in. You're going to fall. You're going to have to fall. You're going to have to ask God to forgive you. You're going to have to repent and get back up. Do it again. God's patient with you. Be patient with yourself. So you have prayer and you have patience. But you know what? I think also we need perspective in all of us as we're thinking about addressing change in our life. You know, Jesus, again, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, sufficient for today is the trouble thereof. You know, when we talk about change, oh, it's going to be big. Oh, it's going to be pretty. No, I'm not talking about 60, 80 years. I'm talking about today. Can you change today? Can you change this afternoon? Can you live for Jesus until 2 o'clock? Can you live for the Lord when this evening comes instead of kicking back and watching something? Can you come back here? Can you do it? Can you serve God just for today? Think about that. I think that means that each morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm here. And there's some things I'm working on in my life. And I'm going to need your help. And if I fail, I need your forgiveness. I want you to help me through that one day at a time. And that's how you build good habits. And that's how you get rid of bad habits in your life. You make a plan. You work your plan. And with God's help, you can see that plan to the end. You know, if you want to look and think about this lesson, there's a story about Frontier Days out west. When the roads were just wagon ruts. And God came up with there was a sign, a plywood sign, not a plywood board. It said this, be careful in this rut. You'll be in it for the next 25 miles. I've been on that road. Have you? You been on that road before? I've been on that road before. Some of us get in that rut. And we cannot get out of it. It carries us all the way through. What we need to do, I don't want to say make new ruts, but we need to make new grooves that turn into deep ruts that are good, that are wholesome, that are honest, that are pure. Those things that Nikki read, that's what I want. That's the habits that I want to develop. And I want to do those things. And one thing, it's automatic for the Christian that glorifies God and recognizes God and gives God the power to do that. Allow God to work in your life, folks. He'll do that. Put you out the song, Luke. Maybe you've looked around and noticed you're in that rut. And know the things that we talked about this morning, you're in that rut, can't get out of, you need the prayer of the church. So I'd do that this morning. We have elders here that will pray for you that you can begin that journey, that habit that needs growth, that change that needs to take place. You repent of that. We'll help you in that in any way that you can. If you're in the rut, if you're outside of Christ, you never obeyed the gospel, think you don't need to do that, you can repent of that and do that this very day. Please come. Let's get a weekend.